Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Getting ready to represent Christ to your world today. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
All right, I love this from a listener this morning, that instead of talking about sheltering in place, that we ought to be talking about sheltering in peace. Amen. 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 We are indeed sheltering in peace. We are sheltering under the unbelievable protection and providence and sovereignty and grace and love of God the Father. By the power of the salvation we enjoy in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is moving among us. We do possess and live in the midst of a peace which passes the world's understanding. And so let me encourage you today to shelter in peace. I just love that. Thank you so much to the listener who sent that in. And I know you're saying to yourself, hey, in the unlikely event that no one has said this yet, feel free to use it. No one has said it yet, at least in my hearing. So there you go. Shelter in peace today. Let us shelter in the peace of God. Let us shelter in the peace of the knowledge that God is sovereign and in control. None of this surprises him. He is faithful. He is good. He is gracious beyond all measure. And he's able to do right now far more than we ordinarily dare to ask or even imagine. So let us be sheltering in the peace of God today. As we survey the headline news, I know that there are some who grow anxious. And let me just remind you that we are going to be a people who remain curious and confident and joyful. We're not going to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed in the ways that the world becomes overwhelmed sometimes. We're going to continue to be people who walk our faith out with joy. And that doesn't mean that we don't hurt and grieve and feel disappointment or experience privation. I recognize that all of those things are already a part of what many or most of us are experiencing. But how we respond and receive those experiences and live through those experiences is the ultimate testimony and witness to the world about whether or not our lives are ultimately built on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, or whether or not we really were building our lives on some shifty, shaky sand. And so it is going to be an opportunity for many, many people to reevaluate, reconsider, adjust, and then on the other side of this, build differently. And we're going to all be together in the midst of doing that. And so as the storms rage and as the waters rise, as our lives are shaken, some of us will discover that, yeah, we did. We had it built on firm foundation. Others may discover, you know what? I thought I'd build it on a firm foundation. But in fact, the way that I had constructed the things of my faith proved to be pretty shaky. And so I thought it would be helpful to bring Justin Early back on. He has talked with us before about the common rule. And we're going to talk today about spiritual rhythms for quarantine, right? We're going to apply the common rule to this new reality in which we're already living and recognize that we now have time that we did not have before. And this is a really good time to invest that time in some new rhythms, in some new habits, in some new patterns of life. And so next up, Justin Early, with the application of the common rule to the quarantine. So we're calling it Spiritual Rhythms for Quarantine. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
Your plans still prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fight and the flood. Thank you.
Joining me now, Justin Early. You can check out what we're talking about at thecommonrule.org, thecommonrule.org. Justin, welcome back.
Morning.
Hey, good morning. I might need you a little closer to the microphone.
Can you hear me?
All right, so let's talk about spiritual rhythms for quarantine. First of all, let's start with the big overview. What are the spiritual rhythms? Just remind us what the spiritual rhythms are, and then we'll talk about how we're going to apply them, particularly in this very unique time.
Sure. I'm recommending people consider at least four rhythms for quarantine right now. Number one, daily scripture reading before you go to your phone. Number two, kneeling prayer three times a day, which is to keep us in a rhythm of seeking the Lord, confessing, talking. Number three, figuring out ways to gather safely, whether that's a Zoom call or a family Bible study or a friend who comes to your backyard, talks from your front porch. And four, lighting a candle as a sign of hope and keeping that fire of hope burning. Those are the four rhythms for spiritual, for quarantine.
Okay, I love that. And so remind us, first of all, why we need rhythms, why they're helpful, because I think that for folks who haven't thought much about the common rule since the last time you and I talked about it, let's revisit why we need these kinds of habits and rhythms, why that's healthy for us, and then we'll talk about each one of these four.
Sure. Well, everybody, I'm sure, knows but can appreciate and needs to appreciate even more that we are living in an incredible moment. This is a historic moment, and this deconstructs all the norms that we have, and it's done so almost immediately. And so we are a bit laid bare right now. We all our rhythms are off, all our unseen habits are disrupted. And so now is, on the one hand, an incredible moment to rebuild household patterns because all of ours have been taken away. And that means it's an incredible opportunity to consider something that Christians have done for centuries and even millennia, and that is have what's called a rule of life. And interestingly, a rule of life, which is a pattern of habits or spiritual practices that help us lean into the love of God and neighbor. The idea of the rule of life was invented around the fall of Rome when the world was collapsing. And it was a way for Christians to say, while chaos reigns outside, we in our houses, in our homes, in our monasteries are going to have rhythms of hope and renewal and embracing the love of God and neighbor. And so it's this way to set up patterns of peace and security amidst a world of fear and uncertainty.
Well, and we've talked a lot about the need that not only children, but frankly, all of us, the need we all have for predictability and patterns and rhythms. And so much of that has been blown out of the water, right? And so we're now at home together. And I don't know if anyone else is experiencing this, but I still, because I've always worked from home, or at least, you know, in this particular position, I work from home. My whole rhythm is now disrupted because now there's all these other people here all the time who normally went somewhere else during the day. And so it would be really a blessing and beneficial to our family to sit down and go over, okay, let's all agree we're going to do these four things. We're going to use this time to develop these four really good habits. So let's take them one at a time. How might we develop habit number one of reading the scriptures every day?
This is such an important habit right now. I think it's always important, but right now it is urgent. So the idea of scripture before phone is that we just wait to enter anything digital, the news, social media, our email, until we've grounded ourselves in the scriptures. That might be a brief 10-minute meditation in the psalm, or that might be half an hour study. It's going to be very different for people. But what I would highly recommend anybody consider is that before we go to the drama, the trauma even, or the fear that has gone viral on social media or the news, we ground ourselves in the secure love of God. And what happens when we do this first, I think, is then we can go to the news and what's happening today and interpret it through God's promises to us, rather than interpret our day first through the shakiness of the world's foundation. In this kind of moment of pandemic, grounding ourselves in the scriptures is more important than ever. And that's why I think scripture before phone gives us a way to practice that habitually every day.
All right. And let me just tell our listeners again, if you go to thecommonrule.org, you can find these spiritual rhythms for quarantine. And as you scroll down the page, you're going to see these four habits: read the scriptures, rhythms of prayer, light the fire of hope, and gather safely. And then as you continue to scroll down, you're going to see very practical application for each one of these. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about creating rhythms of prayer. And there's all kinds of very, very practical ideas posted here in terms of what we would do as we kneel three times a day in prayer to the Lord our God. I'll continue this conversation with Justin Early about the Common Rule in just a moment. Continuing my conversation with Justin Early, the book is The Common Rule. The website is thecommonrule.org. And we are talking today about the application of the Common Rule during these times of quarantine. And so what you're looking for on the website is spiritual rhythms for quarantine. We have talked about the first of those rhythms, reading the scriptures every single day. And now we're going to talk about the second, and that is rhythms of prayer. Justin, why does prayer matter in terms of this habit of the soul? And then what are some ideas in terms of this praying three times daily?
Mm-hmm. I mean, praying is fundamental to being a believer. It is fundamental that we seek the presence of God and do it regularly.
Hey, Paul, do we need to reconnect with Justin? That sounds like a pretty bad connection. All right. So we're going to reconnect with Justin, and I am going to read with you some things that are posted here on the website. There's some really super practical stuff, like the 20-second blessing for neighbors while we're washing our hands. So what are you doing in that 20-second hand washing? Here's an idea. You could pray this: Father, I ask you to bless my neighbors. Would you protect their bodies from sickness? Would you protect their hearts from fear? Would you protect their minds from distraction? Would you fill their hearts with peace? Would you give me an opportunity to serve them with my hands and share your love with my mouth? Amen. That's a 20-second prayer that you could adopt in this season. You know, it's better than singing happy birthday for those 20 seconds every time. You could sing the doxology. That is a prayer as well. Find opportunities to work prayer into the regular rhythm of your everyday life. All right, Justin is back, and he's going to talk with us about the three times each day that we're going to physically kneel in prayer. Justin.
Yeah, so can you hear me now?
All right, well, that is still a really poor connection. But go ahead, let's just try. Let's try, and then if we can't hear you, we'll reconnect again. Yep, that's not going to work. All right. So Paul's going to reconnect with Justin through some other methodology, and I am going to share with you the bedtime liturgy for small children. So you're going to, it's just like a back and forth question and answer, right? Like you're going to have a rhythm of liturgy at bedtime. So you could say things like, did God make you? Obviously the child's going to say yes. Does God love you? Yes. Will God always protect you? Yes. Even more than I can as your parent? Yes. And as the parent, then you agree, you know, you're right. Now I want you to rest in the peace that the one who made the stars knows your name and will always love and care for you. Good night. Like, right? We need a little liturgy. We could be kneeling with them beside their bed. We could be kneeling beside their bed as they are tucked in. There is a waking kneeling prayer, a midday kneeling prayer, and an evening kneeling prayer. All right. I now have Justin Early back with us. So Justin, let's talk about why we're going to kneel when we pray.
Well, I feel like the poor connections here are a great example of some of the disruptions to our normal everyday life. And the idea of kneeling three times a day and praying is to get into that rhythm of steadiness that we are regularly seeking the Lord's presence, steadying our hearts and looking for his love. And the idea of kneeling is not
to make us more holy or anything else. It's just to get our bodies involved and to mark the moment, get our mind's attention by kneeling and saying a short prayer at waking, midday, and bedtime.
All right, I love that. And we talked about the bedtime liturgy while we were reconnecting with you. So let's move on to the next encouragement here, and that is to gather safely. Let's talk about how we're going to gather even during a time of social distancing.
Yeah, this is so important right now, but it's also very nuanced. I mean, I think it's fundamental that believers obey authorities right now and follow recommendations. This is a way we love our neighbors, right? By stopping the spread of this virus. And yet we also realize at the same time that the body is not the only thing that needs health. Our soul needs the nourishment of community. And so I believe that we must fiercely seek out community and friendship in precisely this moment, because this is precisely the kind of moment where we need each other. And so, you know, that might be by connecting digitally, FaceTimes, regular calls. It might be like what my friends actually did last night, and that was we all walked into a friend's backyard around a campfire, stood a couple feet apart, and just nourished each other with conversation and prayer and reminders of the gospel. But now is the time that we desperately need our fellow believers to remind us of the good news of the gospel. And so whatever way it is, I think gathering safely needs to be a fundamental rhythm during this time.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. All right, and then let's talk about the fourth habit, and that is light the fire of hope. I love this idea.
Yeah. Well, so for me, and you can see through all of these, for me, it's very important to have tactile reminders, you know, scripture before phone, or kneel and pray regularly. And lighting a candle, setting it in your window, maybe lighting it at the dinner table, is another tactile reminder that we possess the hope of God, and we should be putting it on display to each other and to our neighbors. One of the ways my family did this last night is at the dinner table, I lit a match and lit our candle, and I said, "It is well," and my children and wife and a friend who was joining for dinner said, "With my soul." And it's, again, just these little reminders to say we have hope. And we humans can endure incredible things and incredible sufferings and come out on the other side so long as we keep the fire of hope alive. And this is a way to remind us that Christ is light. He is the fire in our midst. He is the one who will bring us hope and get us through this.
So we, as a family, did a little adaptation. We combined this fourth one with the third one. We carried our candle out to our little gathering with our neighbors, again, safe distance, and we used it to light our campfire, our little bonfire in the backyard, right?
I love that.
And so then what we talked about with our neighbors was how could we, as people on our street who know that there are other people on our street who don't know the hope of Christ, like, right? How can we bring that candle and let it shine in ways during this that would bring hope to our neighbors? So there's an extension to some of these that's really, really sweet. So I just want to thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, thank you that's a wonderful reminder. I love that you did that.
All right, so Justin Early, we are going to connect with Justin at thecommonrule.org. That is where you can go and you can find these spiritual rhythms for quarantine, these wonderful daily habits that we are going to adopt during this time when, hey, it's a perfect time to be developing new habits. This is a really great opportunity. We have fewer and fewer excuses. We don't have nearly as many places to go, not nearly as much to do. Great time to develop the regular rhythm of the reading of scripture, the rhythm of prayer, the gathering safely together in community, and lighting the fire of hope. There's more at thecommonrule.org. Justin, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be right back. All right, so much going on in the world, so many reasons to pray. What are the things that are provoking you to prayer today? What are the stories that you're telling? What are the books that you're reading? I'd love to hear from you. You can always text me at 877-933-2484, or you can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Love to be hearing from you, and those are the best ways in which to do it, or you can communicate with me on Twitter. I'm at Carmen LaBerge, and I'm pretty much online all day and on that particular platform. All right, next up, I have a really, I have a surprise and delight. So I don't do a lot of novels, right? I mean, we don't generally read a lot of novels, but I don't generally have the kind of time that we have now. So let me share with you today a delightful novel. It's entitled Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Yes, C.S. Lewis. You know C.S. Lewis's story, and you think you know the story of his wife, Joy. But really, if you think about it for just a moment, isn't pretty much all you know about Joy is the way she died? Well, this is a novel written in first person. Patty Callahan, the author, is going to be here next to talk with me about her novel, Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Don't miss this.
There's a story in the Bible about some men in a boat who are caught in the midst of a big storm. They are afraid for their lives. All hope seems lost. But then they call on Jesus, who is in the boat with them. He answers their call and speaks peace to the storm. He calms the raging sea around them, and most importantly, the fear in their hearts. God wants to bring peace into the storms of our lives. He doesn't want us living in fear or losing our hope. And when the storm rages around us, we can find comfort knowing that we are not alone. The God of peace is in the boat with us. We are not alone. We're not facing this storm alone. He is with us. He is for us if we will call on Him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Turn to Him today.
You're my defender. You fight for me. I will remember.
All right, joining me now, Patty Callahan Henry. She's a New York Times best-selling author, and she's joining me today to talk about Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Patty, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. Thanks for having me.
What a delightful read. What a delightful read. I think I'm wondering how it feels to have a book that like literally doesn't have any negative reviews.
Oh, it does. I just don't read them anymore. It does.
Well, I'm just saying.
But it has been welcomed, yes.
Yeah, it has been welcomed. And your writing colleagues, I mean, right, other authors are devouring this. They are enjoying it. They are sharing it with their readers. That says a lot. And I just want to say to our listeners right now, Becoming Mrs. Lewis is a delightful read. And we get to know the wife of C.S. Lewis in ways that no one has ever helped us know her before. So, Patty, let's talk about how you got to know the woman who we would call Mrs. Lewis and why Becoming is a part of this title.
So Joy Davidman is her name, and she was an American poet and writer. And she had this mystical experience she didn't understand, so she wrote to C.S. Lewis. That started an almost three-year pen friendship that then, of course, turned into something much deeper as the years went by. But I found this quote of hers in an essay in front of one of her books, because she was also a writer, just like Lewis. And I think that's why you said my writer colleagues have devoured it. It's because this is a story of two writers. But mm-hmm. She has this quote where she says, if we should ever grow brave, what on earth would become of us? And not only did I love the question, if we should ever grow brave, what would become of us? But I so admired the poet and writer in her that put the words in the just right place. Grow and become. And so I felt that even though she didn't answer that question in her essay, she answered it with her life. And so I felt that that word should be in the title, becoming.
And it is written in the first person. So you kind of become her in order to help us experience the person she becomes. And that is a tremendous gift to the reader. You really fully take on, in a first-person way, this character. Talk about just your experience in terms of writing this and how this experience maybe was different than other things you've written in the past.
It was a difficult decision, the first person versus the third person. But as soon as I started writing about her, she came to me in the first person. And every time I tried to switch it, it just wasn't coming out as true or real or heartfelt or deep. But what happened was, at the very beginning, when I started my research, I found these two Joy Davidman camps. There's, you know, the people who believe that she, you know, came from America and just stole C.S. Lewis and manipulated him, which is just such hogwash. If you read A Grief Observed or any of its letters about his great love for her, you know that narrative is biased and untrue. But then there was this narrative that she was this brilliant, fascinating woman, the only woman C.S. Lewis loved enough to marry, the only woman he ever called my whole world, earth, stars, air, and water. And I couldn't reconcile these two different narratives. So I decided very early on in writing this that I only wanted to hear from her. And lucky for us, she was a prolific and beautiful writer. So I have her poetry. She wrote 45 love sonnets for C.S. Lewis. I have her essays. I have her novels. I have her letters. So I was able to write from what I call the key of empathy, from the seat of her heart, from behind her eyes. And I did that very deliberately as I blocked out and said, I don't want to hear what anybody else says about her. I want to hear what she says about herself.
It's a delightful read. And we not only are sort of taken into this woman and her experience and this relationship that develops through the writing of letters back and forth and then in person, but you really do a beautiful job describing the countryside, not only around Oxford and the Kilns, but you do a remarkable job taking us into the politics and what I'll describe as the peculiarities of English intellectual society, like the rules of decorum of Cambridge and Oxford. There's a lot in here in terms of helping us experience this place and this period of time.
Oh, that means so much to me that you say that, because it meant so much to me to do that right. And you're right. There is so much in here. I often say this could have easily been a trilogy, but nobody wants to wait three books to see them fall in love and get together, right? So I traveled there to make sure that I soaked the narrative with what it really looked like and really felt like in London and Oxford. And lucky for us, neither London nor Oxford has changed all that much since 1952, when she showed up. The biggest difference was that London still had a lot of bombed out spaces that she describes in her letters post the Blitz, about only 5-6 years out. So I really was able to go to the places. I made myself a research trip that I called In the Steps of Joy. And I went everywhere that you read about, I went to. And when I went there, I pretended that I was Joy. What would she think seeing this for the first time? What would she think walking into C.S. Lewis's study or house or yard or garden? And so everywhere that you read about, except for Scotland, where she is for about 2 pages, everywhere you read about, I went. And I just tried to soak up the atmosphere. I interviewed people who taught there, what it was like. I read Lewis's letters from that time. Warney, Lewis's brother, kept a fascinating diary of those days. And I just tried to read into the culture and the nuances. And of course, I can only get it as right as I can get it on this side of their deaths. But yes, it was very important to me that that wasn't forced or contrived, and was very much a part of why it took them so long to be together. Also, Oxford itself was almost its own antagonist. The culture of it was, and I wanted that to come across.
Just totally, it's captivating reading. I'm talking with New York Times bestselling author Patty Callahan Henry. We're talking about becoming Mrs. Lewis. If you love C.S. Lewis, you're going to love becoming Mrs. Lewis. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. So I'm talking with Patty Callahan Henry. She is the New York Times bestselling author. The book we're discussing today is Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Patty, you also went a little deeper in what I'll describe as the What If podcast, even though that's not what it's called. But people can actually go and listen to more content, some behind-the-scenes content, some developmental content, if they go to Patty's website, which is pattycallahanhenry.com. You just click on the podcast link, and you can actually go a little deeper. I'm wondering if there's anything you sort of wish had made it into the novel, but, you know, at some point you just have to stop.
Oh, that's such a great question, because so much had to end up on the cutting room floor. Their lives, like I mentioned previously, it could have been a trilogy. Their lives both are so fascinating. The choices they made, their journey to Christ, their letters, their jobs, it was so much. And so there were so many pages I wrote that were fascinating that had to end up on the cutting room floor, because if it didn't have to do with the central question, which was, how did these two people ever meet, ever fall in love, and good Lord, ever get married? It was the most unlikely story, guided by God's hand. And if it didn't have to do directly to that, it had to go. And yet, Joy's time in Hollywood, Lewis's young life, there's so much that I wanted to put in there that had to go. And even after the book came out, I learned new things, because I became, you know, dear friends with her son, Douglas Gresham, who's still alive. And he told me stories, and I found more things in the archives. And so, yes, I've often thought, oh, I'll just write a sequel. But the story has been told. The parts that matter have been told. So the podcast was kind of a outreach or a offshoot of all the things we weren't able to include. The questions that I got when I was on the road, back when we were allowed to be around people, Carmen. And I would take all these questions and I would call experts and interview them about the biggest questions I got. Like, what about the children? What about her poetry? How much did she help him co-write his books? And I interviewed all these experts that I'd interviewed for the novel, but I wanted my readers to have even more than they could get out of the book itself. So instead of writing another book, we have this really fascinating podcast. And then it was also put together in an audiobook where I read some of the cut scenes, some of the things that end up on the cutting room floor.
So can we pivot and have a slightly different conversation?
Absolutely. I'm yours.
So you were a nurse?
Yes.
And you're a mom.
Yeah.
And you're currently like displaced out of your regular environment.
Yep.
Talk with us about how you're processing, making the most of even thinking creatively in this time.
So for me, first, let me go back to being a nurse. So I think we all have that one anxiety dream, you know, the one where we go to take a test and forgot to go to class all semester or something like that. My stress dreams have always been about being back as a nurse in a hospital and forgetting about a patient. And my mind during this time has been, I'll get choked up, so much on our frontline medical personnel and the nurses and the doctors. And we have these conversations about being stuck at home and not knowing what to do with our time. And my mind keeps going to the frontline people, the ones that have to get up for the 6 a.m. shift and put on that mask and put their lives at risk every day. And those are the people I've been praying for so much. As for myself, yes, we are displaced. I have a older daughter, my oldest is a daughter who's married and has a baby. and they live in Hawaii, so I can't even get to them. Mm. So that is a great grief. And then my two college-age sons are home right now doing online school. My husband is home running his business from home. And of course, I'm accustomed to being at home, but I'm accustomed to being at home alone. So I keep channeling Joy's quote, "If we should ever grow brave, what on earth would become of us?" And then my second favorite quote of hers is that life is too intense to be endured with logic alone. And I think about that a lot as things get testy, because I think one of the greatest stressors in this time is the uncertainty. How bad will this get? How long are we locked at home? How long until we can see other loved ones, the ones we're not locked in a house with? You know, how long will this go on, and what will it look like when we get out? And I think about Joy Davidman a lot in these times, because she's right in that this cannot be endured with logic alone. We can't reason our way through this completely. We need logic and reason and medicine, but we need more than that too.
I love the book, Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Patty, I think we would be fast friends. I hope you will go outside and breathe some of that coastal air for those of us who are in the middle of the country right now and can't smell that sea salt. So so do that for me today. I would love that low country smell.
I'll send you a picture, Carmen.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to direct everybody to Patty's website, PattyCallahanHenry.com. If you just want like a joyful romp today, click on the About tab on how to make a writer. Let me just tell you, that is the best page on a website I have ever seen. Like, so hats off to whoever encouraged you to do it that way. All right, PattyCallahanHenry.com is the website. The book, Becoming Mrs. Lewis. Patty, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen.
Oh, what a wonderful way to start the day. Thank you, Carmen. Be well and take care of yourself.
And you as well. We'll be right back. All right, one little prayer you can lift up for me today. So my sweet mom turns 82 on the 31st. So that's just a couple of days away. I have to come up with some creative way of, right, like celebrating her and celebrating her birthday, obviously not in person. But I have to figure out how to, like, at least be able to get her face to face. Like, so pray that I can figure out how to help her navigate something on social media to the point where we can actually talk face to face. I know some of you are just saying, hey, just get on your phones and do it. But for whatever reason, her phone won't do that. So, all right. I know first world problems. I get that. But I just want to invite you into my life and the prayer concerns that, you know, might seem really small, but my guess is you have some prayer concerns like that as well. And so you could share those with me. You can always email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can text me, 877-933-2484. I'd love to be praying for you over this weekend. And I am confident you'll be praying for me as well. The show must go on, like, right? Like, we're going to be here. And I know that we are not here in the same way for some of you that are used to listening to us while you're driving down the road and listening to the physical radio. But you can still listen. So we're thankful for the technology streaming at myfaithradio.com. We're thankful for the Faith Radio app. And we would invite you to share those with other people who need encouragement and need to be in the conversation. And so this is a great way for you to invite others into this listening family, this listening community. So would you do that today for me? Would you share this podcast with someone new? You go to myfaithradio.com, you get the link for the podcast, you send it via text message or email to one of your friends, neighbors, family members across the country, and let's get more and more people involved in this conversation. Hey, have a great weekend. Make it a great weekend. Do some of those common rule things from Justin Early, commonrule.org, and we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.